Let's take a moment of silent opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're full with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. It provides us the information we need to have in order to take advantage of your grace, deploy your Word into our experience to your glory. And as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in a verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans and got through verses 1 to 3 with the expanded translation as follows. Verse 1, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called an apostle through having been appointed because of the gospel from God. So this tells us about who Paul is, what he's done, and his adjustment to God's authority in appointing him as a messenger. And we noted that in some detail. Which, that is the gospel, remember that brings the context into view. He, that is God, promised in advance through his prophets and holy scriptures or writings. And we noted the Old Testament scriptures as, and the prophecies therein as it relates to Jesus. Concerning his, that is God's son, who was born from the seed of David according to the flesh. Now here we see Jesus' identity being characterized more specifically. Not only that he is God, but simultaneously, as we've seen, son of David, and of course of the line of Judah in the nation of Israel. So last time we were looking at the doctrine of the royalty of Christ, because since we saw this his identity here, we were nailing down his royalty is in the various categories. We noted that Jesus has three categories of royalty, and therefore three royal families. The first category is a product of his eternal and infinite being as God. He bears the royalty of his deity. So we saw his royalty associated with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as a member of the Godhead. Second category of royalty is a product of his true humanity. That is the result of his virgin birth and his incarnation. His first advent in the line of David per the Davidic covenant. So again, the Old Testament had narrowed down the line of the seed of the woman. The prophecy of the seed of the woman was given almost immediately after the Adam and the woman fell in the garden and were expelled. And of course, the seed of the woman pointed to Jesus, or that he is the seed of the woman. And throughout the course of history following that, the line of the seed of the woman narrowed because of disclosure from God incrementally. His third category of royalty is a product of the royalty of his hypostatic union and his strategic victory over Satan during his first advent. His hypostatic union royalty, a royal family, is the church. So what we're seeing here is that because of his unique role in redeeming mankind, he took on the form of a human being. Now, again, he was Adam. He was in a human in the sense that Adam was before the fall, no sin nature, and no imputed sin. So, as a result, he is in a position of impeccability, which was required for him to fulfill his objective. Though what remained was for him to perpetuate that impeccability during his life in unglorified humanity under the adversity of the devil's world, and then go to the cross and take on the sins of the world and still maintain impeccability in the sense of no personal sin and become the sin offering that basically eliminates the issue of sin with humanity. So God could have a relationship with us on the basis of himself rather than on our situation. That's how God solved the problem. We know that there's a complete disconnection from Israel and his hypostatic union royalty. In the hypostatic union, Christ is a king priest, and we've noted how, as in Judah, he was not qualified to be a priest because Levi was the priest. A lot of the family of Levi, the tribe of, and actually people following in Moses and his family as well, they were part of the Levitical priesthood. But Jesus is what we refer to a king priest, and Hebrews discusses this in the context of Melchizedek, who preceded the Levitical priesthood. Because remember, it was Abraham who respected the priesthood of Melchizedek in Salem. And on his way back from defeating Chedorlaomer. So the royal priesthood is formed in the dispensation of the church age, and every church age believer is a royal priest. So that's the target of the New Testament is the believers in the New Testament who comprise the royal family of Jesus in the form of the hypostatic union, or associated with the hypostatic union. And we're also priests in the sense that he is. And Peter talks about this in 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. It says, you also as living stones are built up, or being built up as a spiritual house, for a holy priesthood to be offered up in spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, but you are a chosen race, so that there's your new spiritual species, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own protection, possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So this is the church's role, and we become the priesthood for eternity because we're associated with Jesus in his victory. And Revelation 1:6 also discusses this. He has made us into a kingdom of priests to his God the Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this is a royal family that's not born into a royal line. Like I say, most royalty comes, well, in fact, all royalty comes in a line of people who were physically related to somebody prior who had shown themselves as distinctive in some area in such a way as that they became royalty. So that's the normal kind of royalty. So that would describe Jesus and his association with David. But this is a church that's different. It's a family that is born again into a royal line. So we're in this status quo as a product of our association with Jesus through faith in Jesus. His hypostatic union royal family does not come from physical birth. It comes from a new spiritual birth that creates a new spiritual species that comprises the church. And this is an important concept to understand because it highlights the target or the focus of God's work in us. We live in an age where the physical is not a factor per se. I mean, obviously we're physical, so we have to deal with it. But I mean, even Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, said, "The man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So he was prioritizing God's word, and then that was under the pressure of having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then being placed in a position where the devil was permitted to test him and provide him with temptation to fulfill his physical needs in certain ways, being food, of course, in one way. And he rejected that concept. You know, if we look at our world today, it's all about the physical. There's no issues of spirituality or soul life. It's all physical. And even the church falls for this because they don't understand the true nature of their identity. We do have a physical body, yes, but that's not the issue. The issue is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and our new spiritual entity. And that should be the priority. I mean, this whole thing with the bug has exacerbated this situation. And people are all basically bowing down to the COVID God like they used to bow down to Molech. And the whole thing is ridiculous. And it's not that it's not a zero factor, but it's really, really, really close to a zero factor. Because as Jesus says, if you live and believe in me, you will never die. So this is all trumped up. It's a false narrative. And unfortunately, too many people, even believers, are falling for it. Church age believers have the same royal life to fulfill the royal law as our Lord Jesus Christ had on the cross to fulfill the royal law for James 2:8. And of course, the law, basically, of the royal law is to, in simplest translation, is to do the right thing in the right way for the right reason at the right time. It's all about priority of God, being God. You can read it. But it takes us over to the concept, it didn't hyperlink, so I'll have to type it in. If you are filling the royal loyalty according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you are doing well. See, that's, you have the two concepts there of loving your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and then you have love your neighbor as yourself. So, but really, that amounts to what? Problem solving vices, what? 7 and 8? Loving God, personal love for God, and personal love for mankind. That characterizes that function. And verse 9 goes on to describe how this might play. partiality. And of course, that's the big issue again in the world system. And their issues are focused on the first birth rather than on the new birth. So it comes from the royal law, and the royal high priest of Jesus Christ is confirmed in Hebrews 5:5-6. This takes us back to the precedents that God created or described in him because of his unique identity. Hebrews 5 says also, Christ did not glorify himself so as to become high priest. In other words, he didn't grasp this. It was given to him. But he who said, you are my son, today I have begotten you. He has said such another passage, you are the first priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So that's the note passage I mentioned earlier. In Hebrews 6:19-20, it says, this hope we have an anchor of the soul, a hope that is both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Of course, that goes back behind the, remember, the veil covered the Holy of Holies, and the artifacts of the temple inside that area, including the Ark of the Covenant and the angels and things that were all there, that all were representative of our situation before God and God's solution for the problem. And the angels, of course, are there looking at it because this is a solution to the angelic conflict. And that was all behind the veil. And of course, Jesus, when he went to the cross and died, that spiritual death, substitutionary spiritual death, the forensic judicial spiritual death that dealt with the problem of the fall of mankind, that veil was rent, torn in half, top to bottom, indicating that was open now to anybody who wanted to believe in Jesus and operate as a new spiritual species. So he goes on, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for having become a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So this sets him as a predicate for us in our relationship with God. In Hebrews 7:15-28, we have it also. It is clearer still that if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not as the basis of the law of physical requirement, see, there's your body, but according to the power of the indestructible life, that's your spirit. And it goes on to say, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And I won't read the rest of the verses there. If you want, you can. But it describes how this whole thing takes precedent over the old. Because remember, the Mosaic law and the Levitical priesthood focus on the natural. And it pointed to the supernatural, which is us, Jesus Christ specifically, but the entire royal family. And it indicated that was coming, but it didn't disclose all the details because that's part of the mystery. His hypostatic union royalty, royal title is King of Kings, King over Kings and Lord over Lords, the bright morning star. And King over Kings gives Christ precedence over human rulers, and Lord over Lords gives him precedence over the angelic ruler. And this is his strategy described as this in Revelation 17:14, where it says, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Those who are with him are called the chosen and the faithful. That will be you and me and others who are in trail behind him as church age believers. In 1916, we have a similar phrase. He, on his robe is the thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this is hypothetic union. And 22:17, Revelation, the Spirit and Bride say, come and let us, the one who come and let the one who is thirsty, let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. So actually, we wanted the verse previous to this, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things to the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. So this, again, describes his third royal family. His royal title of the Logos, we see that in John 1, is based on the Lord's decision to come into the world and provide eternal salvation. This was an unknown title until it was recorded in the Word of God in John 1. So it says, in the beginning the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All the word translated word, the Greek word translated word here, is the Logos. And it has to do with God revealing his objectives through the person of Jesus. The real issue in life is all about Jesus. It's his person and his thinking. So it's all about this. I mean, everything in life that's important revolves around that. And anything that doesn't revolve around that is really not that important. It may be somewhat a priority in certain situations, but for eternal reality, it's the only thing that's important. It's the only thing that's transiting out of this sphere into the eternal state. Anything that's associated with Jesus is the only thing that's getting out of here. Everything else is destroyed because this whole universe is contaminated by the devil and the fall of the angels, and that was compounded by the fall of mankind when Adam and the woman fell. So this whole thing gets gets destroyed, and a new heavens and a new earth are given. So this brings us back to Romans 1:3, which just kind of wraps us back around concerning his God's Son, who was born from the seed of David according to the flesh, which is a reference to his humanity. So in our discussion of our Lord's royalty, we have sufficiently noted the doctrines of the Davidic covenant and the hypostatic union. So again, as we go through these verses, we're looking at various ideas that are presented and developing those concepts to some extent, not exhaustively, but in a reasonable way, so that we have we've seen many of these before, so there's no sense in going into the big long discussion of them, but a couple of classes about each one to give us a little, to fill in the blanks that we may have forgotten, because remember, we have to learn faster than we forget to keep stable, and because the rate of forgetting is a consistent process because of the entropy associated with life on this planet in unglorified bodies. So this brings us to Romans 1:4, which in the New American Standard reads, "Who was declared the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." So this is going on to discuss more about Jesus and how it was God did what he did with him as he came into the earth. So we'll go on a word-by-word basis here. "Who was declared" is translated from the article "to," that's who, and the aorist passive participle horazo, that means to mark out. Horazo is defined declared, and so and it's a present reality, so it's just uses a was as a verb. That means to mark out, to define, to determine, to designate, to appoint, or set boundaries. So basically, this word describes something or someone who's been defined in some manner or fashion. And this turns out it's Jesus who's been defined as someone who's going to fill a certain role in God's plan. And it's going to explain how he's going to do it. It has to do with the Spirit. And this is important because, again, he's setting the precedence for us. And here it means to be appointed or designated by God's decree. Now, everything that happens is in the decree. And it's important for us to understand that, because nothing happens on the earth apart from the decree. So if something's happening, it means God allowed it to happen. And doesn't necessarily mean remember, there's categories of God's will. You have the directive will, the permissive will, and the overruling will of God. So if it's in the decree, it's one of those three categories. And generally speaking, it's either the directive will or the permissive will. So much of what's going on this planet is in the permissive will because of the probationary nature of our existence here. And the fact that God's resolving an issue with the angels, and of course mankind as well, but we're the means to that end. So, anything that happens here, God's allowed. So when you understand that, you're in your life, the things that happen, God's permitting to happen. It changes the entire perspective of that situation because you recognize God has allowed this to happen for my blessing. Because remember, everything God lets happen to us is for the purpose of advancing our situation. And so if what we perceive to be a bad thing happens, well, God's going to turn that curse into a blessing somehow. We don't know how necessarily. We may not know until we get out of here. But that's the reality. So that's how we have to view these things, and the present circumstance in our country is similar to that, even though it's a bit of a lot of a nuisance, and it's bad for our country in the sense that our country is failing the test. Now, I think this thing could have gone the other way if we had made different choices, but we didn't make those choices, so we're on the downslide, and it's going to get worse and worse as we go along here until at some point it's going to reach a tipping point and it's not going to come back, but I don't know if we've reached that yet. We've got to be getting really close. Anyway, was designated by God's decree, and the concept of aorist takes into view the action of the verb and gathers it up into one entirety. So this takes the entire package of Jesus and his coming here to do the work he came to do into one entity. So the whole package, in essence, is what's going on here. So in eternity, God's decree takes the virgin birth, the hypostatic union, Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and all of the causes, conditions, successions, and relations that are necessary for the first advent, and gathers them all up together into one entity, and then God decreed it in eternity past. So that's how what happened happened. And when that time rolled around, he showed up. You know, he came at the perfect time. Paul describes it as the perfect time. So, and that meant that the events that would occur in his lifetime would all work together ultimately for the ultimate good. And God had it all sorted out so that it would. And he was in a position to overcome the evil that the devil would throw at him and the evil of the circumstances or on the earth at that time. And turn that curse into a blessing. So he used that all. And that's exactly the same thing he does to us in our situation. The reality of these things is decreed in eternity, and is why they occur in time. Time and eternity will eventually be conformed. It's an important concept. Everything ultimately is conformed to Jesus. It says in Philippians 3:21, who will transform the body of our corruptible state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So in some manner or fashion, all things are going to be brought into this conformity at some point in the serious stream of things. Now, not everything happens at the same time. There's a progression. And some circumstances, people are conformed sooner than they would otherwise be. That eventually, this passage tells us that everything is going to be conformed somehow. We don't necessarily know how. The Bible may not even explain how some of this is going to happen. One of those things that comes into view is what happens to the people that go into the lake of fire. How are they conformed? We don't know. It says they're going to be. That's all I can say. It stops right there. I got no idea how. It's going to happen eventually. So the thing is, we got a volition involved, so we can be volitionally positive to this confirmation, conformity, or we can reject it, and there's a different consequence in both cases. So verse 4, the passive voice, Christ receives the action of the verb. So we go with the next, who is declared the Son of God. So God was performing the action here. The Son of God is receiving the action of the verb. So it's a passive. This is from God's decree in eternity. And the participle is a circumstantial and is translated with the definite article as related to the cause. It should be translated who was marked out or designated or declared, that's okay, that's what we have in numeric standard, in eternity past by God's decree. It's interesting to know that this is the same concept that describes our situation in the church age, as church age believers. All of these causes, conditions, successions, and relations in our life are also decreed by God in eternity. We see the same concept that's described for Jesus here in Romans in Ephesians 1:3-6. Now, this is, we've seen this before. This has to do with God ordering things and setting things up so that the events would happen in a proper sequence. If we read Ephesians 3, we've seen this before in other studies. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So this is him setting us up with all the assets and resources we need to live our life, just like he did Jesus. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So that goes back to the decree. And that we would be holy and blameless before him. He did this in his love, from his love, by means of his love. So this is his unconditional love towards us. That, of course, is borne out to us through Jesus. God loved the world so much, in such a manner, better way to say it, that he gave his uniquely born son. So this was him doing that. He predestined us to adoption as sons according to Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Again, more decree. Why? To the praise of his glory, praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. That's Jesus. So, you see, Romans here, Paul in Romans is talking about Jesus being set up by the decree. And in Ephesians, he's actually talking about each church age believer being set up by the same decree. It's just a different facet of the same decree. And we're all connected with Jesus. And this is, again, our hypostatic union identity, or identity with him and his hypostatic union as a member of the church. So, again, we have the blessings here. So, again, what exists in eternity must eventually exist in time. I said that earlier. So eventually all things are going to be brought into conformity to Jesus. And that's that. What's see? Time is a time of disarray, and well, we call it the permissive will of God. It's a time of probation. God's allowing the devil to assert his lie, and people to accept that as true, while simultaneously reserving the option of reaching into that chaos and extracting those who have positively listened to him in this time frame. Okay, and that's us. That's the church. And so in that process, he then conforms us, or starts working to conform us to his son. Now, how do you do that? Well, positive listen to doctrine. First of all, you believe in Jesus. That puts you in a position where you can be conformed. It gives you the 40 things that God gives you in salvation, the provision of the Holy Spirit, which is critical to this process, as we're going to see. Without the Holy Spirit, none of this works. The Holy Spirit is the agency of Jesus in hypostatic union. He's the agency of us. And that's not something to be lightly considered, because the Holy Spirit provides us with the same power he gave Jesus in his humanity. And that's important, because that's the predicate and precedent of our situation. It's the issue, really, when you get right down to it. That's why after you're saved, the issue is 1 John 1:9. Keep on walking by means of the Spirit. And how do you do that? Acknowledge any known sin. You see. So the issue is the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. Of course, Jesus never sinned, so he was always walking that way. For verse 4. So Son, go back to verse 4. Son is the next word. Son is translated from the objective genitive of weos, refers to the fact that Jesus accepted the authority of God the Father in eternity past when he decreed that Jesus would become human. Remember, they had this the round table, if you want to look at it, between these three entities in the Godhead, and they mutually agreed that this was going to be how we resolve this problem. Now, this is all done before the angels fell. In fact, it was done before the angels created. This is all in the view from the outset. They knew the angels were going to fall. They were going to allow it, and they were going to allow the whole thing to play out through the course of history, and ultimately then have a solution to that problem by their interjection of themselves into a lower creation in order to create a super creation. That be us. That's the church. So that's what the plan was from the outset. And this is all set up in the decree from before the foundation of anything. So Son is translated from the objective genitive of weos, referring to the fact that Jesus accepted the authority of the Father and eternity passed when he decreed that Jesus would become human. Then the descriptive genitive of theos, translated of God, this is the title for the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. The deity of Christ, apart from hypostatic union, was the title from the Tetragrammaton, YHWH, in the Old Testament, Hebrew. That's just translated as Jehovah. Remember, the Jews would not speak this word. We do. We call it Yahweh. That's our word for it. But they won't say that. So they use the word Jehovah to describe this. But it's a Tetragrammaton with those consonants. The noun weos tells us that the first advent, Jesus subordinated himself to the authority of God the Father in providing for us the great salvation we enjoy. The noun theos indicates that Christ is God. He is co-equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Now, we previously noted the study of the doctrine of divine efference, the essence that describes this equality of the Godhead. We know the various aspects of that. You know, eternal life and faithfulness and truth and all those various aspects. There's 10 attributes, at least. Colonel wrote the book about it. And it's the essence of God. And it describes the various facets of the essence of each of the members of the Godhead. And you read that in depth if you wish, but that's, we summarized it here a week ago or so. And it takes all the categories of one's essence and breaks them down and shows how the Holy Spirit, or the whole God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus had all these same characteristics. So that, this goes back to God being who he is. With power is translated in the preposition en pios, en plus dynamos. So in is with, and dynamis is power, the instrumental of supernatural power. This is not the power of the direct work of Jesus Christ in his deity. This is important to note. This is the power of the Holy Spirit that was deployed through his humanity. And we're going to see that next time. Because we'll pick this up in having a 30-minute class. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word and the blessing it is for us to have this information, because it is the precedence and predicate for our situation here. And it provides us with the power we need to deal with the adversity that you're allowing to happen to us, because you put us in this position purposefully so that we could take advantage of your grace on the basis of the application of your word, so that we can glorify you and be beneficiaries of that process by being members of your royal family in Jesus. Help us to recognize that as we face the challenges that come to us in this devil's world that's completely nuts, and deal with it with integrity and love according to your will. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.